It's good to see you tonight. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to the Old Testament tonight, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Those that know me fairly well know that I, like Ruth, sometimes like to glean among the sheaves and reach into the Old Testament and find some of those wonderful examples of how God is faithful and how he can be trusted at all times and in all things. My subject tonight is a question. Are you all stressed up and don't know where to go? I sent that to Deb, or asked her to send the email, and I thought to myself, Deb's going to ask me if I did that right. Don't you mean all stressed out? Perhaps it should read that way, but I was kind of playing on the term when you're all dressed up and nowhere to go. So it's a little catchy title. But you've been stressed and sometimes didn't really know where to go. I told somebody today, I said, I think I'll be the first one in the altar after I preach this sermon. Because I've experienced it more times than I like to mention. But there's a king in the Bible that learned the lesson that I'm talking about tonight. When he was stressed, he felt fear, and he was anxious, and it looked like it was an insurmountable situation. It looked like death, actually. But God intervened. I'm talking about Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament. Now, when you study the life of Jehoshaphat, you conclude a couple of things. First of all, he was a man of great faith. He certainly loved God, and he did many things right. But he was a man with flaws, like you and I. He wasn't a perfect man. He had his flaws. And his flaws almost cost him his life. For example, he made an allegiance with the wicked King Ahab to go and do battle with him. And there's a whole story you read about. You can read about this, so much of this, beginning with chapter 17 all the way through chapter 20. But I'll just tell you briefly that King Ahab had talked him into wearing his robes. And King Ahab was going into battle to disguise himself. And so when the enemy thought they were killing Ahab, they actually were shooting at Jehoshaphat. And he almost died. And so he learned from that. So he had flaws. And on another occasion, he succumbs to peer pressure. And it was an unfortunate situation. It also didn't end well. But to say he was not a man of great faith and a man that didn't love God and didn't accomplish many things for the Lord would certainly be wrong, because he did. But he was at times a fragile man. He could have stress, as we would say today, become anxious, afraid. And so in those times, or in that moment when he was particularly afraid, what did he do? How did he manage that situation? And more importantly, what did God do? And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. There's so many scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all. You're going to have to just kind of trust me as I narrate some of this, because for the time's sake, but certainly I hope you'll spend some time reading this wonderful story, as I said, found in chapter 17 through chapter 20. But we begin tonight in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 15. He gets this answer from God in a time of frailty, in a time of fear, a time of anxiety, a time of stress. Jehoshaphat, God says, the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. It is an incredible story of how God defeats a multitude that were meant to destroy the life and family of Jehoshaphat. So I want to divide our sermon tonight in three simple divisions. First of all, he's faced with a big problem. When you look at his life or look at the message that's found in the story, there's a big problem, and it's this multitude. And they're after him. They want him dead. They want to kill him. Now, Jehoshaphat had been, as I said, very successful. He'd eradicated pagan cults, and he'd sent priests and Levites all over the country, established judges to help rule and discern those things that are right, and he strategically placed them over different things, and this person would deal with the civil aspects of the law, whereas this person may deal with the ceremonial aspects. But he brought great order to the kingdom of Judah. He was a wonderful leader. But his enemies were against him, particularly Ammon and Moab, these two great tribes. I say great in terms of their number. They had decided that they were going to invade Judah, and they were going to take out Jehoshaphat particularly. So when you see his big problem, it's this multitude, and as I call it, Jehoshaphat's foe. Look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with him other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. He was vastly outnumbered by this foe. And he could get all of his troops together, and he wouldn't have enough to combat this large coalition that is coming against him, marching toward Judah. They're armed to the teeth, and they have already killed Ahab, and they're coming to kill him and his family. And so he knows that from a physical standpoint, he's no match for this great multitude. They're coming against him. And so that's his foe. And his foe is way too big for him to manage. On his best day, they were not able to defeat this great multitude. So Jehoshaphat, that's his foe. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and as it says, others beside. Large multitude. It's a big problem. It created great fear. Notice verse 3. The fear of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat feared. The word actually means he trembled. He was very afraid. This scared him to death. And so here's a man of great faith, but he also has flaws, and he is at times fragile. And this is in one case where he certainly is fragile. He knows he can't manage this. And as I said, he's already come close to death, and he's watched the notorious Ahab already be killed. And so Jehoshaphat is very, very afraid. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had a big problem invade your life or invade your family that created a lot of anxiety for you? A lot of fear, a lot of trepidation, a lot of anxious moments, a lot of upset or sleepless nights? Maybe not just in your family, maybe it's in your personal life or your health. For example, it could be a physical situation. You get a call from the doctor and he wants you to come back because he's seen something and you feel you're gripped with fear. Perhaps it's a financial situation where you're doing good at one point and for whatever reason, the bottom kind of falls out and you've got more responsibility than you can manage. Maybe it's a marital situation. The marriage you thought would be forever has deteriorated. And there's great distance between you and your spouse. Talk to people often, sadly, that feel that great distance and that great void. And for whatever reason, they feel that the situation is hopeless and beyond repair. And a lot of fear is involved. A parental situation. Your children they're not doing the way they were raised to do. Or it can be emotional problems where you just find yourself getting more unnerved as you age and time rolls on and life just seems to come to you in bundles and difficulties. A multitude of problems. The Ammonites or the Moabites and others beside are kind of, You can hear their hoofbeats, and they're pressing down on you. And though you have faith, you're flawed, and because of that flaw, it is a moment of fear for you. It's a big problem, and you know it's bigger than you can manage. It's bigger than you can navigate through. You don't have the strength on your own. It's the multitude, or in our case, the magnitude of the problem. All stressed up. What do you do? And certainly Jehoshaphat is having one of those moments. The big problem, this multitude, he's scared to death. He's very afraid. The man of God is afraid. This big problem. Well, when we have these big problems and our faith is shaken and we become fragile, we need to get a hold of a big promise. You know, we need to find one of those promises. We need a word from God. We need something for God to give us something to let us know it's going to be all right. A message from God. How do you get that? That's the thing. Well, you can come to church and hopefully that's helpful. But what if it's not Sunday or Wednesday? What do you do? How do you get that? Well, Jehoshaphat went to God. Notice his prayer. He prays to God. This big problem has him on his knees. Verse number 3 said, "And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord." I wonder sometimes if big problems don't come into our life because that's exactly what it's designed to do, is to set ourselves to seek the Lord. Because it's easy for us to get into a comfort zone, so to speak, you know, where we just kind of get relaxed. And we were talking one night in Man Cave, you know, and I think AJ asked us, you know, how long has it been since you really felt like you were being blessed? We all kind of looked at each other, and I think before it was over, we confessed that, I think we're so blessed with so many things on a daily basis, it's hard to not feel blessed living in our great country and having so many things. It's not to say we're without problems or difficulties, but certainly God's blessings, as the psalmist said, he daily loads us with benefits, and he does. But in those moments when we're afraid, we don't think about those things. And so we need to get a hold of a promise from God. And so we set ourselves to seek the Lord. He's getting very serious about this. And so his prayer to God. Now, when he prays, I love the way he prays here. And there's a lesson for us. He appeals to God on the basis of God's ability. Notice verse 5 and 6. He is going to appeal to God on the basis of not Jehoshaphat's ability, but God's ability. Now that'll strengthen your faith every time. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" Now, what's his big problem? The heathen are coming to get him. They're coming to get his family. They're coming to destroy him. And he, in his prayer, as he sets himself to seek the Lord, he rehearses to God what God, of course, already knows, but it builds him his faith to say it to God. "Lord, I know you're in control of all these people and all these things. And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee?" These are, of course, rhetorical questions. The answer is yes, 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 yes. God is always in control, and God does have power and might, and no one can withstand him. And so Jehoshaphat sets himself to seek the Lord, but he's reminded of the amazing ability of God. You know, there's a verse in the book of Hebrews said that they that come to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, just to have a mental assent to the fact that there is a God is one thing. But to come and believe that the God that you're praying to is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him, that's the kind of faith God wants in our prayers. We pray based on his ability. If that's what we believe, if that's a part of our prayer and our theology, I ask this question: is anything too hard for God? Is anything too big for him? Of course, the answer is no. Then he appeals to God not only on the basis of his ability, but as he continues to pray, he understands that God is not only able, but God is available. And I love this. Art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people? And he recites to God his faithfulness over the years. Gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever. And they dwelt therein and have built for thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil come upon us and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. He said, now, Lord, I know how you all through the years, it goes all the way back with Abraham, our father, your friend. And then there was Moses, and then there was all of these other things. You have been a faithful God through all of these years. And you have promised that when we cry unto you in our affliction, that you will hear and you will help. You're not just an able God, you are an available God. Thank the Lord for that. I mean, his ear's not heavy that he can't hear. His hand's not short that he can't say. He is near, and he's available, and he's able. And then verse 7 and 9, verse 20, 14 and 17. Then upon Jehaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, now, the preacher's going to stand up and speak now. And he says this, thus saith the Lord unto you. Here's that message from God. Be not afraid. Now, what's their problem? They're afraid. And so he has set himself to seek the Lord. He has extolled the ability of God, and he has firm belief in the availability of God. And so now the message coming through the servant of God back to Jehoshaphat and the people is this. Don't be afraid then. If you really believe what you just prayed, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And then he says, for the battle's not yours, but God's. Now, how did it get to be there? Well, you just prayed it there. You just prayed that problem into the hands of God. You just handed it over to the Lord. And so now God's in charge of it. You have reminded God that God is there, available and able. You've prayed the problem right into his hands. And what should follow is the blessings of fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. He is available. He's able and he's available. I'm going to tell you, friend, if you don't know the rest of the story, and I don't have time to give you all the details, but it is absolutely fascinating how God delivers the people from the Ammonites and the Moabites and those others beside. There's a big problem in Jehoshaphat's life. It's so big that he has no chance against it on his own. He's very, very afraid. When you're very afraid, you need to get a hold of a big promise. Those are the messages from God. You do this by praying to him, talking to him, turning that problem over to God. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets, and so shall you prosper. What he's saying is that these prophets are only messengers of God to tell you what God's word said. So believe the prophets, believe God. He's going to strengthen, establish you, and you are going to prosper. So now they are armed for this war with the promises of God. That's amazing. Let's see what happens. The big problem gets a big promise, and now there's a big plan. It's a miracle from God. The way God does this is fascinating. First of all, when God gives you his plan, it's important that we follow his directions to the minute detail. You see, if you're going to set yourself to seek the Lord, and you get a word from God, or God unveils a plan to you about how you should manage the situation you're in, it's important for you that you follow the directions that God gives you. You see, partial obedience is disobedience. And so you have to follow the directions as they're laid out. Look in verse 21, if you will. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, this is fascinating to me. They've got this big problem, this great multitude. They're armed to the teeth. They're coming to take their families. They're coming to kill them and to take over their city and destroy their kingdom. And so he doesn't say, well, load your weapons, saddle your horses. He says, okay, now I promised you, you've prayed the problem into my strong hand. So what I want you to do now is begin to praise the Lord. Instead of using weapons, they used worship. Instead of using swords in their hands, they used songs in their hearts. Instead of soldiers, they had singers. They put on the front line people that knew how to praise God. Instead of commandos, they had a choir. And they just began to shout and sing and praise God. And what was happening around them as the Ammonites and the Moabites and those others beside, there was so much praising and worship going on, they got completely confused. The Ammonites attacked the Moabites, and the Moabites attacked the Ammonites, and those other besides got in the battle, and they're fighting against one another, and God's people up there just singing and praising and shouting, and God's handling it all down there in the valley. When Jehoshaphat peeks over the valley and looks down there at this big problem he had that had him scared to death, he didn't see anything but a bunch of dead bodies laying down there. They're all dead. God had taken care of every single one of them. Follow the directions. If the battle is God's, why aren't you praising him? Why aren't you worshiping him? Isn't that, think about that just a moment. You know, we used to sing a song, it's amazing what praising can do. And it really is. Notice the deliverance they found there. When they followed the directions, the deliverance followed. Verse 22 through 24. And they began to sing and to praise. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. You know, other than the fact that people are being slaughtered here, when you think about how God handled this big problem that he had, that had this great king trembling, scared to death, but he prayed his problems in the hands of God, and he begins to worship and trust God, and there's nothing now but to do but to sit back and let God do what he does best, and that's handle that thing that's handling you. That's what he wants to do, is handle that thing that's handling you, whatever it is. But you got to follow the directions. And then when you follow the directions, leave it alone. Once you put something in the hand of God, in God's hands, quit messing with it. Let God do what only God can do. So I ask you this question before I close. Have you got any mountains that you can't get over? Have you got some rivers that you can't cross? As the song said, you've got any valleys that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things that are impossible. There's nothing my God can't do for you. So if you're all stressed up and you don't know where to go, set yourself to seek the Lord. He'll give you one of his promises, and they always have some directions. Usually they're equipped with, if you will, I will. And when you do that, sit back and watch the power of God do what man can't do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your word that is always strength. As the song said, Lord, your strength is perfect when my strength is gone. And often, Lord, my strength is gone. But your strength, Lord, as the song says, it carries us when we can't carry on. Raise us up in your power, Lord. Help us to stand on the promises of God and not be dismayed at the magnitude of the problem, but to listen carefully to the message of God and begin to praise the God of miracles that cannot fail. Give us the grace to do it, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. God bless.